Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John chapter 12. Think about this. Jesus has entered the city of Jerusalem. It was on a Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday. It was a Sunday, some call the triumphal entry. And as Jesus is entering, he realizes that shortly, within a couple of days, he is going to be arrested. He is going to be slandered, lied about. They're going to pluck the hair off his head and beard. They're going to plant a crown of thorns on his head. They are going to beat him. They're going to spit on him. Is it any wonder there was weight upon his shoulders? As he entered, there were those that praised him for the miracles that he had done. There were those that were glad that the Messiah had come. There were those that wondered what in the world is going on, that this person is getting all this adoration and notoriety. And there were those that hated the fact that Jesus was indeed getting this, what shall we call, pomp and circumstance. Why should he receive this? And there were those that hated him. And you know, in our life today, there are those that are excited about what is happening in a particular church. There are people that enjoy being around other people, and they enjoy talking and visiting, and that's why they come to church. There are those who come because they've come to worship Jesus Christ. They want to honor his name, and they want to be fed by the Spirit through the Word of God, and they are excited that they can be here. And then there are others, well, to be quite honest, they're frustrated they have to be here. They feel like if they don't come, the people are going to look down on them, or because they're superstitious, God's going to touch them and they're going to be, some bad thing's going to happen. How about you? As you sit here this morning, are you glad you're here, or do you feel like, well, I got to go? And the alarm clock went off and you hit the snooze 72 times. Have you ever figured out why it's 9 minutes? Is it an irritant? Is that why it's 9 minutes? Don't you think it ought to be 10 minutes? I know some of you think it ought to be 25 minutes. But the question is, we live in a society that has a lot of church. Would you agree with that? I mean, we got churches all over Sterling Heights, Utica, Shelby, Clinton, Macomb, Warren, Troy. There's lots of churches. But what are we seeing happening in the churches? Someone told me a couple of years ago, I was at a meeting where there were a lot of people from a number of churches, and this person looked at me and she said to me, you know what the problem is in our churches today is none of our churches are growing. They're just swapping churches. They go from this church to this church, from this church and this church. And she goes, I've been at 3 different fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches. She goes, I'm on my 4th. And I said, you do realize you're talking to a Baptist preacher. And she goes, well, I know. But she goes, you know it too. She goes, what's the problem? And I said, the problem is simply this, is that we take our eyes off the Lord and we put our eyes on people. Folks, if you put your eyes on me, you're going to be disappointed. Can I say that again? If you put your eyes on me, you're going to be disappointed. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Paul? I'm disappointed in myself. That's just the way it is. Not I'm only disappointed I have poison ivy. You know, I'd like to itch. Oh, no, excuse me, I'd like to scratch. If I start scratching, will you start scratching? You know, it's like a yawn. Wasn't that mean? Yes. The book of John. Let me get my Bible out. Did I tell you where? Chapter 12. Very good. How many of you are in chapter 12? All right. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 19. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world has gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." If, we're going to talk about that word "if" in a little bit. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that there were those that when you came in triumphantly served you as the Messiah. Lord, may we serve you as the Savior. And Lord, may we be honoring you as when you return to call us home. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come." The hour has come, you that have had surgery, you remember it was a certain time and you wanted the surgery to be done, but you didn't want the surgery to start. And yet, the hour has come, they've given you the happy juice, so now you don't care what they do to you. They wheel you out and, you know, your loved ones are there, kissing you goodbye or praying or whatever. But the hour has come. You think about the wedding. And the hour has come. It's good to have Mrs. Grader with us today. Are you getting used to writing that as a new last name? Oh, you haven't had a change? So you haven't changed part of it yet. Okay. Well, I know this, when the hour was coming for your husband to come out of that room over there, he was getting nervous. But the wedding is coming, and there's a set hour. If someone was being executed, there's a definition hour, isn't there? How about death? Death is coming for all of us. You do realize that, don't you? One out of one, what? Dies. One out of one. Every one of us. The Bible tells us there's an appointed time unto death. But there was an hour that was come for Jesus. In Galatians 4:4-5, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law." 6,000 years of earth history, or world history. And I know that the evolutionists would tell you we've been around for millions and billions of years. We haven't. But some 4,000 years into man's history, Jesus Christ came and walked upon this earth. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." Aren't you glad you're not redeemed with silver and gold? Can you imagine missing heaven because you were $1 short? Can you imagine? But we're not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you. When the worlds began, when they space was thrust out there and thrung out there, and as we know, the universe is still expanding, and it was thrown out there, God knew that God would have to come and die. God the Son would have to come. Revelation 13, 8, see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Still there in John 12, verse 23, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Do you realize that you're here this morning to glorify the Lord? You understand that, don't you? That you're here, that we're here, that all of us have come not only to sing the songs, but to look into the Holy Word, to give. This is glorifying the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You make it by changing pages in your Bible, or if you have the new technology, by punching in what needs to be punched in. But we make the joyful noise. We sing the songs. We put in the offering. We pray. We're making the joyful noise. We are here to glorify Jesus Christ. You're not here to pat Palmadon on the shoulder, but you're here to glorify the Lord. To glorify, glorified means to be exalted, to magnify, to adore, to honor. This is what we are to be doing today. We're to be exalting the name of the Lord. We are here to magnify our Lord. We are here to adore Him. How many of you have a dog or a cat that you adore? Some of you. How many of you like that was in the bulletin there about how many times it's about Bible, the dog, but there's no mention of cats? Just thought I'd throw that out. I thought that was hilarious. You don't know how long I've been keeping that one. I wanted to make sure it was here. No, I'm not going to say that. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want you to ponder that there's coming a day in which every atheist will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I want you to know that at the name of Jesus, someday everyone that worships Allah will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. I want you to know that the day is going to come that those that are Buddhists and those that are Hindu and those that are a false so-called religion, Christian religions, are going to bow the name of Jesus Christ. The day is coming. He is going to be glorified. And may I say this, it could be very soon. And to be honest, I wish it were today. In verse 24, it talks, except the corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. My wife has on the refrigerator, I have no idea why it's on the refrigerator. She has a packet of seeds for some type of, it was there, but it's gone. They're seeds. What's that packet? Milkweed. How many of you want some milkweed weeds in your yard? Okay, we do. But anyway, she has on our refrigerator a packet of milkweed seeds. Are they ever, while in that packet, ever going to do anything? No. They aren't going to do a thing. Maybe you've gone to the store and you've bought seeds for corn or for green beans or for tomatoes, and you leave them in the packet. What's going to happen? Nothing. Sooner or later, the packet will dissolve and the seeds will fall out, and you say, what a mess, and you'll throw them away. But as long as the seeds are in the packet, nothing is going to happen. What is it going to happen is when you take it outside, you rip open the packet, you put some, move some dirt, soil, and you pour the seeds into the dirt, and the seeds die, and then they germinate, and then they grow, and then they produce. Jesus Christ was going to die. He was going to be, as it were, planted. He would be buried and he would rise again. And may I say this, he has produced fruit. He has produced millions upon millions who have been willing to accept them as Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He came to die. Don't ever forget that. He came to die. Before the foundations of the world, he knew that he would die. And then we come to verses 25 and 26 where we find that little word, if. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If Jesus is talking, in a couple of days, they are going to come and they're going to arrest him. They are going to beat him. They are going to crucify him. And he is still talking about people that will follow him. You're going to follow someone they've crucified. When someone wears a cross on a necklace around their neck, that cross represents death. Represents death. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If Jesus knows there are a lot of people that are excited about what he has provided for them. The healing of bodies, the showing of compassion. But how many of them truly followed him? We remember the story of the 10 lepers. Do you remember that story? Jesus meets these 10 lepers and they asked to be healed. How many came back and thanked him? One came back and thanked him. Do you think that's a good ratio, 1 out of 10? No, it's really not a good ratio, is it? But I wonder if that is not the ratio in our churches today, that really 1 out of 10 served the Lord faithfully. Now you ponder that. One came back and served him. If any man serve me. But who has to make that decision? See, if I made the decision, all of us would be serving the Lord, right? All of us. But you have to make the decision. You have to make the choice. You have to say, yes, I will follow you. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Could that be the answer to the Greeks who had come to worship and wanted to talk to Jesus? And he says, if you will serve me, follow me. Could that be what he was talking about? Let me ask you a twofold question. Would you see Jesus and would you follow him? And if we follow him, is it consistent? Do you know someone who's tried to quit smoking? Raise your hand if you know someone who's tried to quit smoking. Yeah, we all know someone, probably. Do all succeed? I still remember, and I've told you this story, and if you've heard it, please be polite and just listen to me again. But I remember when Donna's dad was over here at what used to be St. Joseph Hospital, is now Henry Ford Hospital on 19 Mile Road. And I was there when Donna's dad was in the hospital. He was in bed, and Dr. Lee used to work out of Romeo. Dr. Lee came in with the x-rays of my father-in-law's lungs, and he held them up to the light. And then he looked at Mr. Darren, he looked at my father-in-law, and he says, if you don't quit smoking, you'll be dead very soon. You'll be dead. Now, anytime Donna ever complained about her dad smoking, actually Mr. Darren never had to say anything because immediately Donna's mother would defend him. Oh, he's been smoking since he was a teenager. How many of you have heard someone use that excuse? I've been smoking since I was a teenager. Let me tell you something. Mr. Darren never smoked again. Dr. Lee held up the x-ray, said, look at these x-rays. These x-rays show that you just have problems. I remember when I went out to see Dr. Lee one time, he took an x-ray of me, of my lungs. He goes, well, go on out in the lobby. He says, I'll come and get you. He came out about 20 minutes later. He said, folks, I want you to look at this. And he held up my x-rays of my lungs. He says, look at these lungs. He said, these are the lungs of a non-smoker. He says, these are good lungs. But how many of you have known someone who wanted to quit smoking? And if you smoke and you want to quit, my heart goes out to you. Because I understand it's the hardest addiction to quit that anybody has to quit. It's hard. And how many of you have heard someone, you've seen someone, maybe you are the someone, and you quit? We used to have a man that came to church. I believe Brother Champion sat right here. Right here. Brother Champion sat right there. Brother Champion decided to quit smoking, and he did for 2 years. He didn't smoke one cigarette for 2 years. He walked in from a picnic, and someone had left a cigarette smoking lit on the counter. He says he doesn't know why he walked in. He picked up the cigarette and started smoking. He smoked the rest of his life. He'd gone 2 years without smoking. You think about this. Someone gives up smoking. I understand that first week is hard. You might use the word H-E-double-L. But you're determined. And then what happens? You get around people who smoke. Stress. You just reach out and pick it up. Maybe you threw all the cigarettes out of the house and you opened up a drawer and there is a pack and the next thing you know, it's in your mouth. Not the whole pack. What happened? It's so easy to go back, isn't it? Jesus said, if you'll serve me, you'll follow me. How many of us have said, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And you do. For a day or 10 days or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And the next thing you know, you go back to where you were. Why is it so hard? And it is hard, isn't it? It is hard. You say, well, I've been serving the Lord and you know, I've been saved since I was 5 years old, which is about 10 years ago. I guess I was about 7 years old when I got saved, seven. So I'm 63. So what's that make it? A long time. 56 years ago. No, I'm 63. Don't make me older. Okay, 56 years ago. Have I been faithful all those 56 years? It's hard, isn't it? There are some days you get up in the morning and it's just everything's going your way. You have a great hair day. Isn't that good when you have hair, right? It's hard. Jesus says, if you serve me, what? Follow me. You that have given up smoking, and I'm sure you're glad you did. It's great. You that have tried, don't ever quit. Don't ever quit quitting, is that what they say? But not just smoking. There are so many other things. How about people who spread gossip? People who are liars. I have someone in a family. I'm not going to say if it's Donna's family or my family. Just in a family. It's got to be in one of those two families, folks. Okay? That if they say something is red, I have to look. Because they lie so much, I wouldn't know if they are telling the truth or not. They're liars. They're thieves. There are those who are addicted to pornography. There are those who are addicted to all kinds of things. It's hard. And you could be some of them. How about alcohol? Boys, people think, oh, you got to have alcohol to have a good time. If you have to have alcohol to have a good time, I've never had a good time in my life. You say, Pastor Paul, are you bragging? No, if I'm bragging, I'm bragging on my parents. Dad, I still remember when you said, you've got four families, two on your mother's side, two on my side. He says you have alcoholics on all four sides. I don't know if you remember telling me that, but you told me that. He said, you start drinking, you'll be an addict. It scared the pajabbers out of me. I don't want to be, what are pajabbers? Jesus said, if you serve me, follow me. Are we following the Lord today? And if we are following him, how close are we? How close? Do you remember if you have a group of kids, be it school, be it a team, there are always those that are close to the teacher, close to the coach. They're close, but are there always the stragglers? The one that you're constantly looking back to find? Maybe you were the one they were looking back to find? Yes. How about in a Christian walk? How close are we to the Lord? How close are we to the Master? I'm in page 2 of 4 pages of notes. It's 12 o'clock. I best have you stand. 401 only, trust them is our song today. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. But we have to come. And let's stay close to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless. May the Spirit move. Lord, may we give ourselves over to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving. Amen.